Welcome to the Brian Thomas Podcast. In today's podcast, I speak to Sean Barron, one of the founders of Redone, a label specializing in vintage jeans, which has made a name for itself by turning old Levi's into designer level jeans, taking them apart and tailoring them to more modern shapes. Sean tells me exactly how they have done that at Redone, how they meet their purpose of redoing and how they are breathing new life into heritage brands. I'm Louise Duffy and this is the Brian Thomas Podcast. Welcome to the Brian Thomas Podcast. Sean Barron, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Well, thank
you. Big fan of Brian Thomas.
Well, thank you for being in Brian Thomas. We're very excited to have a brand like Redone on the shop floor. It's an amazing story how this brand began. So tell us a little bit about that. What led you to launch Redone?
You know, it's actually a very funny and serendipitous story because it was, you know, I had been in the industry for quite a long time and I owned some pretty big brands and I was, you know, semi-retired, and a friend of mine who ended up being my partner in the business is a very vintagey kind of guy, if there's such a word, you know? Yeah. And we were sitting around having coffee or, you know, having just a drink or something. And he said, you know, what if you could take vintage Levi's apart and make them into modern jeans? Because all girls love vintage Levi's, but it's hard to find. And the guy who usually tailors them doesn't know what he's doing. And it becomes a very challenging proposition. And I said, well, that's a fun story, but there's no way to do that because it's too complicated. But if you could do it on a production level, you'll hit the three pillars of what I would say the millennial customers, brings her along. And one is scarcity, exclusivity, and storytelling. Mm-hmm. And a vintage pair of Levi's, that's one of one, is very exclusive. They're very scarce. And each jean was pre-loved by someone else. So they tell these stories. But I said, that's just my, you know, theoretical process on this, but I don't think it's possible to take apart jeans. But I said, you know, since it's a good idea, let's try. And so for 9 months, we went through this crazy process of how to take apart a jean and put it back together. And to be honest with you, the last time we did a fitting, I said, if it doesn't work today, we're not going to do it because it's been 9 months now. And, you know, it's like, I have other things to do, and it worked. And it became, you know, so we figured out how to take it apart, put it back together to make a modern fit out of it that in the language that women knew, like high rise and mm-hmm. low rise and boyfriend fit, we were able to take the greatest pair of jeans in the world and shrink them down to fit a woman and within new fits, you know. Mm-hmm. And we launched on the 29th of July in 2014, and we sold out in 12 minutes at midnight. We actually turned it because we couldn't figure out how to make a website. So it took us a few minutes to figure it out. And we also shot a very cool campaign because then we realized like the jeans are about individuality also, because each jean was totally different, even though it was the same fit. So if you go to other major denim brands, like if they have a skinny jean, they make millions of the same one. So everybody looks the same. So our whole premise was like, besides doing the process of solving the problem of getting the vintage jeans, it's like, how do we make people individual again? So we shot seven women together that didn't know each other, but they're all very individual. And one of them happened to be a young girl called Bella Hadid, who at the time wasn't famous yet. She was just a really nice person that came with another girl to do the photo shoot. And my wife was in it. All these nice girls came and shot it. And then, you know, and so we had Bella Hadid. And then right after that, she just kind of blew up. And so she was like part of our company in a way. And it was really great. So we launched and we sold out, like I said, in 12 minutes. And then we had 2,500 people on a waiting list by the morning. And then it just kind of went. And we, you know, the funny part, Louise, is we had no idea that we were doing anything that was responsible. We just thought we were doing something cool.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, which is kind of the best way most companies start. Like when they're just, it's just a passion for the project and not, there's no whiteboard, there's no marketing team.
Yeah.
It's just like, we love this idea of like creating individuality you know, making the jeans fit and helping girls solve that problem. But what happened was we started getting DMs and emails. We love what you're doing. And we still didn't know what that really meant until people said you're upcycling and you're recycling and you're helping the environment. And that in 14, it was a conversation, but it wasn't the conversation. You know what I mean? So we, you know, from that point, we also realized something very interesting about our project was we were taking American heritage brands, which are amazing, and moving them into the luxury space versus like all the brands in Europe, like the Vuitton and Gucci, they're already heritage brands and they're already in luxury. So we took the very hard task of moving things upstream. So we took Levi's, and then Levi's, you know, we became very close with them and we're very friendly with them. And they're one of the greatest companies in the world. And then we went to Hanes, who invented the t-shirt. And we said, let's look at the decades that you guys have. And so we went to their archives and they showed us the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and 80s. And we start realizing through the lens of a t-shirt, what happened with fashion. Like in the 50s, t-shirts are cropped because all pants are high-waisted and boxy. And then in the 60s, like the change of music, you know, and I was talking to the historian over at Hanes, like the change of music shrunk the t-shirt down and made it longer. And then like as music changed again, it got wider and boxier and it, you know, became the boyfriend t-shirt and all these things. So we started watching that. And then we also were fortunate enough to get the specs from the fabric from the old days. We didn't want to use new fabric. So we duplicated and replicated, I should say, the fabric, the way exactly the way they make it from the old days.
It strikes me that, you know, okay, so you say you have a great relationship with Levi's. They have to be very appreciative of this renaissance of their brand. You know, I mean, nobody in the world is unfamiliar with Levi's, but that doesn't mean we all want them in our wardrobe per se. But now with this new glow that they have through your spectrum, I think it's really exciting for them.
No, I mean, listen, they're very, you know, for a $6 billion company, they're very appreciative. You know, Chip and I are friends. He's the CEO, and you know, he's all in it. When he does conferences and he speaks, he mentions Redone a lot, and he says, you know, they helped us out a lot and it was great. And I just think that there's that level of appreciation on all things that we do that is part of what makes us happy. You know what I mean? Like, no one's taking anybody for granted in our relationships.
And it took, you know, so you were semi-retired. This wasn't a plan. You didn't have a business plan or a marketing plan.
No.
You were quite happy to relax. How do you feel now about the fact that you have got this global brand once again to take care of?
You know, I think in my many years of owning companies, this is the one that's the most enjoyable because, you know, we're doing things that are responsible and you know, we're trying to be always on the right side of things. Yeah. And people tend to, you know, it's just about the clothes anymore. Now it's about the brand and what does the brand mean and how does it affect your life? Like, what do you think? And are you following Redone because we're sustainable, we're upcycling? Are you, you know, we have so many different points of intersection with the customer. You know, are you a heritage fan and you like the fact that now, you know, Levi's is being respected in a luxury level now? Like, there's so many different touch points with the customer. It's very exciting. It's the funnest project. And, you know, obviously going through a pandemic, the most stressful project and trying to guide ourselves through that. I mean, we were lucky because we're a digital first brand. Even though we do sell stores like your amazing store, but we are digital first. So we kind of understood that touch point as we got into the pandemic. But, you know, it's not easy when you have 60 people working for you and then you hear about a COVID case in your employee and then you got to deal with it and help them, you know, make sure they're okay and then make sure other people are. So it's very challenging. But I think that coming through this makes us a lot stronger as humans.
And let's talk about the, you know, that moment. So you said after 9 months, you were ready to say, okay, that was a nice idea. It's not possible. What happened? What was that process like that made it successful? What did you do differently? Who was working with you?
Well, I think it was more just like that 9 months was just trying to unlock a way to take a ready made jean and take it apart and make a new one out of it in an industrialized level. Like, not just one at a time, but how do we do this thing where there's a process? And only thing that happened was luck. Honestly, like, it just worked the last time when I had said there's no more, it actually worked. And then we like, oh, let's try it again. And like, we just found the formula. We unlocked the key to how to take apart a jean.
I have lots of jeans in my wardrobes, but I have, you know, maybe three that I know will always make me feel good when I put them on. And that moment of grief when you realize they are done, you know, you've worn them to death, you can never find them again. So, you know, how do you create that right fit? How do you create that perfect fit to kind of suit, no matter what, you suit the right body, or it suits your body right.
I mean, look, we, like any jean brand around the world, we manage fit through, you know, body type. Well, first of all, there are trends that happen. There's loose fitting jeans that become popular. There's, you know, skinny ones, there's low rise. So as we are part of the ecosystem of fashion and jeans and the world, we, like right now, loose jeans are fitting, selling better because people want to wear looser fits. So, you know, it's just being in the industry long enough to know how to follow the fit. Now, so once you understand the fits you want to do, then you just have to find a way to take apart a jean and put a pattern. Like what we do is we create a pattern of a let's say a high rise jean, mm-hmm. and we create the pattern, and then take apart the Levi's, put the pattern on top, and just cut around it.
Okay.
And then we sew it back together. So we literally, Louise, take apart the whole jean where it's like 15 pieces all bundled with a string.
Yeah.
And then they put a piece of paper with a pattern, cut it, sew it back together, and then it goes for another wash. It has to have two washes, and there's a lot of process involved that took me time to, like I said, the supply chain and figure it out.
Yeah, and production wise, that sounds like a lot more work than just running off a load of jeans from one pattern.
Yeah, and we did 110,000 pairs so far today.
Right. Do you ever worry you're going to run out of those nice vintage Levi's that you know, make the jeans so special?
You know, the funny thing is, I worry every day, and then I don't worry because, you know, Levi's produces, and I don't want to misquote this, but 10 million pairs a year of 501, and they've been doing that many for 40 years or 50 years. So right. Somewhere or another, these jeans light now, but it's not easy. It's not easy to find them. I mean, we buy, you know, typically 5 to 10,000 at a time, but it's not, you know, we've learned how to understand the supply chain, and the suppliers are not normal, like, hi, fabric guy, send me 10,000 yards. It's actually, there's a very personal, interpersonal relationship with these guys because they collect these jeans because they like it, not because they're, you know what I mean? Like, it's their passion also. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're giving you their children in a way. So there's a relationship that becomes much more personal with the guys that sell us the jeans.
Mm-hmm. And those collaborations are so important for you, Sean, you know, and, you know, you've reinvigorated the relevance of a heritage brand like Levi's. Is there any other brands that you have your eye on that you would like to work with and collaborate with?
Well, you know, we do Hanes. We've been doing that for almost as long as Levi's. Yeah, you know, we also did one with a company called Attico out of Italy, like more of a designer brand, which was an incredible success. The two women that run or own Attico are amazing. And we kind of said, like, how do these, we became friends. So we said, like, well, how do we do something together? Because you're like this high fashion, go out at night, sexy kind of brand. And we are like this jeans. And we realized our passion for vintage and understanding that became the nexus of what we were going to do. And they came to LA and we went and bought a bunch of old vintage, not so cute dresses. And then we recut them together and we made new kind of Attico shapes out of them. It was a million. It was amazing. I mean, we I think we sold out worldwide in, you know, 2 days or something like that. It was crazy.
Beautiful fabrics. There was beautiful, like real lovely florals and stuff and high shoulders. That was amazing.
Yeah, and it was all from very, you know, undesirable looking dresses that they saw the beauty in the print, and we saw the way to start cutting them apart, making new ones out of it. So like, it was a beautiful, it was really the best collaboration just from a creative standpoint. But you know, we look at not only clothing brands, like we're looking at American car companies to redo a car with them and then create merch around it. We are going to redo some homes with a famous architect from the 50s and 60s called Neutra. And mm-hmm. we're going to redo Neutra because we made a relationship with them so we can use their archives and rebuild sustainable house with their archive. You know, I think, you know, that's why Redone is less about the actual clothes, but about the movement and the concept, which is why going back to what you said earlier, like this is the most exciting time in my life because I can think on that level as opposed to thinking just about a clothing. I can think on a much different level, like, oh, let's call Ford and redo a Bronco with them, but we'll electrify it and we'll do a campaign around it and we'll have Brown Thomas shoot the car. You know, like we can do all these things, and it all comes back to being responsible and a good company, like as good people.
Yeah, that just sounds like a lot of fun as well for you. You know, I think the creativity is endless there, isn't it? And the possibilities. And sustainability is, you know, as you say now, it is the conversation, is at the forefront of all brands' missions. But I can't think of a more sustainable brand than the one that is upcycling and reusing. Are there other ways that you are conscious and sustainable in your process?
Yeah, I mean, I like the word responsible because in a way there's a lot more to it than just being like sustainable. But from a sustainable standpoint, you know, we make our own jeans also, and they're all done with a waterless, which doesn't mean water, no water, but waterless technology, which means like a cup of water versus hundreds of gallons. And we use regenerated fabric, which means they've taken a bunch of old garments and grinded them up and created a new pulp out of them. So that's like a circular, you know, post-consumer. Our t-shirts use recycled yarns. So almost everything we do has some part of sustainability. And we like to say, you know, like we can't be perfect. And we always admit like, this is not 100% sustainable, but we, you know, we're doing the best that we can because we have a carbon footprint. So we have to do an offset. Or, you know, it's just a lot of people say they're sustainable when they're, you know, when we should just be truthful and say, look, we're doing the best that we can. Yeah. Our mission is to always find the most sustainable and responsible way to produce anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like I'll give you an example. My factory that I work with for the jeans in Mexico, they actually take all the stones from the stone washing of the jeans and make bricks out of them and help build homes in their area for their workers. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking, you know, we're talking millions of pounds of bricks. So they, you know, are able to help their community. So that's why we join with them. They're very good at what they do, but we're like, oh, you do that. And they purify their water. So you can actually drink the water. You actually wash the jeans in. And it's very interesting that countries, you know, certain countries are very proactive on that. And Mexico just happens to be one that they're extremely proactive on that.
And then, you know, in terms of what has changed with the pandemic, you mentioned, you know, the responsibility of keeping your organization safe and 60 people working together and somebody might get it and, you know, the house of cards falls. What about the consumer's approach then? Have you noticed a shift in what we want?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think when it first started, the pandemic, there was a lot of like, how do you manage someone at home? And what do you, from a brand that makes jeans, oh, make some sweatshirts. You know what I mean? Like we were already making sweatshirts, but we had no supply chain. So we went into the vintage market and bought old sweatshirts, rewashed them and sold them like crazy. And we made aprons out of Levi's. So people were cooking more and we sold out of those. So we were just, you know, we would sit around, okay, we're cooking. Wait, we should make an apron. Oh, maybe we should make tablecloths. Like we were just doing things that were like, hey, we're all in this together, customer, like, you know, fan of Redone. We understand, so you're home. So why don't we make some socks that will tie dye? Like, and we did all these things and we made masks, which were great. And we donated for every mask we sold, we donated 5 to frontline workers. So, you know, it's just being nimble enough to be able to, you know, pivot and say, oh, let's do this while not abandoning the message, you know? So we just made looser fitting jeans and we shot them where people felt like they're more at home. We had people shooting things for us at home versus big photo shoots. So like a lot of brands, we were like a lot of millennial thinking, smart brands. We were able to pivot and also follow, you know, the social stuff that was going on and be part of that conversation. And, you know, it's a very interesting time to be in a business.
Sure is. And do you think, you know, say you mentioned something like, you know, have people shoot themselves at home as opposed to a huge production where you would have a warehouse, you know, rented out for a day and, you know, just the people teaming around the place. Do you think that we will ever go back to things like that? Do you think that we have learned that maybe we didn't need to spend the way we do? We can still be creative.
I mean, I think there's a balance. Like we did a shoot yesterday in Paris and our, you know, head of content and communication ran the photo shoot from Los Angeles on a Zoom at midnight to 3 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So, cause she can't fly to Europe right now. We shoot all of our content in Paris. So she, you know, so we working around it and it wasn't the huge set, but it was still, you know, 10, 15 people on the set. So I think we do that. And we also do, you know, where we let ambassadors and stuff like shoot, you know, come up their own story about, and all, you know, we always like them to tell the story about how we recycle the jean or how we're making the fully sustainable t-shirts and all these things. So I think it's just a combination of both and being able to be flexible. Mm-hmm. I think flexibility is what we've, patience and presence and flexibility of what we come out of, as we're in this pandemic and hopefully seeing the end of it, we've learned how to be more flexible.
Mm-hmm. It's changed anyway. Tell me what's the changes for 2021. Okay, so I know you're going to be making cars and houses, but for the fashion lover like myself, what's on the way for Redone?
You know, well, first of all, we're opening 4 stores this year, actually in the first quarter. So that's kind of a big leap of faith. So that's, we're going to one in Los Angeles. We've already opened one in Malibu, which is a kind of a beach area up here in north, a little north of us. And we're opening one in the Hamptons and one in Aspen, which is a ski resort in Colorado. Yeah. So that's like the beginning of like the big projects for this year. You know, we can continue to design more and more clothes and find more and more sustainable materials, which is super exciting. We're looking, you know, we're talking to people that fully regenerate. I know I said it before, but the regeneration is hard because you can't mix fabrics together that have different contents, but they're like, science is allowing us to detect what's in the fabric so we can separate and then regenerate. And we're creating this 100% sustainable, responsible tea that is genderless. It's made out of recycled yarn, post-consumer and pre-consumer. And then by the time the customer is done with it, we'll take it back from them and then regenerate it again. So it becomes fully circular. And we're launching on our site a resale, like a Redone resale, similar to, you know, some of the other big resellers in the world. So they can come to our site, post the jean or the t-shirt or the sweatshirt from Redone, and then they'll sell it in the community and they'll get Redone dollars from it, or also like a charity element that will match the dollars for them.
And tell me, you mentioned that we're moving more towards the baggy jeans because we're sitting on our butts at home all the time.
I mean, I also think it's cooler. I think, you know, everything moves in cycles, right? So you had to wear your skinny jeans with your high shoes and all that stuff. And you know, there's always an inflection point where something's done and something new is there. And so we started with the looser jean 2 years ago, and it's been doing great. And now it's like becoming the jean, and the skinnier jean still has its place. But I think, you know, the early adopters picked up the loose fitting jean, and now it's kind of moving through the cycle of like more of the commercial customers learning how to make herself, you know, still feel, I guess, sexy in a way in the looser fitting jean without being overly loose and exaggerated.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, a genderless tee. Do you think that that's a growing market, that kind of gender fluid clothing?
I hope so. I mean, you know, I think it's democratic, you know, to be able to, you know, not alienate anybody. I think it's great. Like, let's do, I mean, that's where we are today. You know, we live in this world that everything's okay as far as we're concerned. So like, let's make t-shirts for everybody. Let's make clothes for everybody. You know, so many guys that I know wear our women's jeans,
yeah,
you know, and they just love them. So, you know, great. Like, let's do more of that.
Yeah. And I mean, even, you know, I think that there is a good market for buying a top for yourself that your husband can wear, whatever, you know. I think that
amazing, that's, right?
Yeah. That's what we do at home. Well, listen,
but it's also not feeling weird about it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that's cool. Like, why don't you wear my t-shirt? I'll wear yours.
Why not?
You know? Yeah. Why not?
Double your wardrobe. That's what I say. Why not? Listen, Sean, it's so lovely to talk to you. And I think your company is really exciting and it's really ahead. So, I mean, we're excited to see what comes and we're so happy you're here in Brent Thomas.
Yeah, me too. I am. I had to, as soon as they open the gate, we're going to come to visit you guys.
Come and visit. Well, you're Irish. So come on home.
Okay. I'll be there. Thank you so much for your time
today.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Brent Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share and follow us on official Brent Thomas on Instagram for more updates.